Genesis chapter 18, look with me at verse number 17. God said this about Abraham. How many of you remember God picked Abraham in order to do some things in the earth? And he said this, he revealed some things about the way he thought regarding whom he picked. In verse 17, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" For, in other words, because, in other words, this is why this is going to come to pass. Number one, it was God's will, but second of all, there were some qualities about Abraham that Abraham had that was going to enable this to come to pass. For, or because, I know him. Isn't that good? I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, this is an interesting verse. You know, there you can find some interesting things in the Bible. This is just very interesting to me that God pointed out the reason he chose Abraham was because because God wanted to reveal himself to mankind more in the earth. And whatever he revealed, and to whomever he revealed it, he didn't want it to stop with that generation. He didn't want to reveal himself to a man and then that revelation go to the grave with that man. And how many of you know he's the same today? He is a multi-generational God. He wants whatever he reveals to us. Actually, he wants whatever he's revealed to man throughout history to be passed on to from one generation to another generation, so that the revelation of God in the earth continually compounds. One degree from one generation to another degree in another generation. It shouldn't be that one generation brings revelation to the earth and the next generation loses it. It's never been God's plan. You can find it in a number of places in the Old Testament. God said, "One generation shall declare thy works to the next generation." I don't have that reference in front of me. I think it's Psalm 105. I could be wrong. "One generation shall declare thy works to another generation." Well, then God wants parents to teach their children the things of God. It's a qualifier, according to this verse. It's a qualifier that God looks for before he reveals himself to a man. What will he do with those he has influence in that? What will he do with the revelation that God gives him regarding those who he has influence over their lives? Isn't that an interesting thing to think about? I said, isn't that an interesting thing to think about? Now, you men say, "Huh," because I'm going to say something to you. Notice what God did not say. This is verse 19. "For I know him, and he'll see to it that his wife shares with the children all about spiritual things, because spiritual things is women's work." Is that what he said? And that's the way some men think today or act today. You know, that's all spiritual. That's the women's stuff. And, you know, I bring home the bacon and they go to church or whatever. You know, no, it's, men, this, Abraham's a man. And God said, I know him that he will train his children. It's not just up to the wife, you know, the mom, to make sure that spiritual things are passed on. And it's not just up to mom to have a prayer life and to receive the things of God, to have the revelation from God, and, you know, mom to get that and pass it on to the kids. Men are supposed to pray. We shared a verse in the Men of Honor Conference that I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men are to have a prayer life. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching whether you're amening or not. And so, men, your home needs to be protected from, and your family really protected from having a headless home, a spiritually headless home. Now, we got a lot of good spiritual men in the congregation, but for those of us that might be just coming into the things of God, this is the responsibility. Men are to be the spiritual leaders of the home, not the wife. Now, some wives, out of necessity, have to step up and do it because the man doesn't do it. But, and that's fine. I mean, I believe if he's not going to do it, mom ought to do it to get that seed sown in the children. But that's really not God's ultimate plan. That's not his best plan. Are you with me? And so I'm encouraging you today, men, to step up to the plate. I know we have a lot of good spiritual men in the congregation, but I'm encouraging you to think about not just natural things of what you're going to pass on to your children, but what will I leave in the earth whenever I'm gone? What will remain in the earth of the spiritual things that God put into my life? And without passing it on to our children, it will be lost with us and not remain in the earth. You ever thought about that? We need to think about that. Something we as men ought to think about. What's going to happen after we go with what God shared with us? God doesn't want that to go to the grave with us. The Bible talks about Abraham over and over again as a spiritual father. He's called in the New Testament a number of times. One place is in Romans over and over again in the 4th chapter. It talks about Abraham being the father of faith. Well, Abraham, because we go back to Abraham and learn about faith from when God spoke to him, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so we as men are called to really be the same thing to those in our lives. We're to be not just natural fathers, but spiritual men and spiritual fathers. Really, your natural children, men, are your spiritual children as well. They should be your spiritual children. They shouldn't have to go somewhere else to learn the things of God. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't go to church, because we know the Bible's clear about his plan for us to go to church. But my point is, how about you going to church? And how about then you take it home to your family in Bible studies or prayer times or times of impartation into your children? Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to look at this a little bit more this morning. Jesus made the statement. It's very interesting. John 14, verse number 9. I think most of us know it. We might not have remembered the reference, but John 14, 9, Jesus made this statement. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That reveals something to us about fathering. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The Father. Spiritual fathering, God was Jesus' spiritual father. Spiritual fathering is not complete until someone can say, "If you've seen me, you've seen my Father." Are you with me? You men, let me ask you the question. Whenever your children come up in your home and go out from your home, it ought to be that somebody says, "Hey, listen, if you see them, you see me." You see me. Because I put into them the faith that God built into my spirit. I taught them to walk by faith. I didn't just talk about it. I didn't just give them head knowledge about it. They saw it working in the house. They saw miracles. They saw the power of God. They saw when Daddy was on the hospital bed with a broken back. They saw the power of God hit it and heal it. They saw, you know, and it wasn't just something we talked about. It was something we lived. And children come out of a home like that fully convinced Jesus is the healer. Jesus is everything I need. And they live that way. They walk that way. You know, praise the Lord. And if we pass on our spiritual heritage, I believe that's a big part of success. I like a statement I heard somebody make one time. You're really not a success until you have a successor. You know what I mean by that? In other words, somebody has come up under us that has received spiritual things from our lives, and we've actually trained them how to walk in it. We didn't just sit back and point the way. We walked with them and helped them learn and believe God. We were a father to them, so to speak. I mean, if you know, fathers don't just teach their children. They train them by modeling character, modeling faith and walking with God and fellowship with God. And I was thinking this is about my mother, but same kind of principle. I'll never forget one of the hardest times in our home as a child growing up. I might have been 10 years old at this time. I'll never forget. It was a very hard time in the home. Some things were going on, and I'll never forget it. One day, I came running into the house. We lived on a farm, and you know, I could have been anywhere on the 100 acres. But I ran. I needed Mom for something. I came in the house running, Mom. I was looking for Mom, and I was running through the house, and there was no answer. So I ran into the living room. I was going to go around to the sewing room. She had a sewing room. I thought maybe she was in there and couldn't hear me. And I ran through the living room, and there's Mom on the kneeling at the couch with her Bible open. I can't tell you the impact that had on my life. Just in that season of her life, she went to her father to talk to God about some things. I'm telling you, mark my life. I don't know why at that time I was ready to hear some things or something, but it marked my life. Well, what about you, Dad? How about you, Mom? You know, what do they see? What are they experiencing in your house? Do they see you going to God on these kinds of things? Amen. And so, there's a need in this area. I'll be honest with you, for your natural children, there's a great need, but there's a need for this beyond us men's life, beyond just our natural children and our natural. There's young men in this earth that are looking for somebody to show them the way. And we need to be open to more than just natural children. You know what I'm talking about? There's a story. I heard this story. I think I've shared this story a number of times. But it just hits me again. Years ago over in Madrid, Spain, there was a dad that had lost track of his son because of a fallout of some kind, some sort of hard feelings or something. And so he kind of lost track and they weren't in communication for a long period of time. And this dad was getting elderly and he was looking for his son. He was trying to find him, trying to locate him. And back then, you know, it was different than today. You put something on Facebook today. But back then he put an ad in the newspaper. And the ad said, Paco, he said, meet me at the post office. It was the newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. Love, your dad. And so he went down to the post office. I guess it was the newspaper office at noon the next day to see if his son had read his ad. And 800 Pacos showed up. Looking for their dad. You know, Paco's a common name over there. 800 Pacos. Well, that tells you the great need. You know, that's another nation. But this is true in our nation. This is an epidemic today. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Those that are out there on the streets today, that's probably one of their main issues, is they don't have a daddy in their life. They don't have somebody in their life to really speak into their life and say, hey, son, here's the way. Walk ye in it. Maybe dad isn't there. Maybe dad doesn't know the way or whatever. But that's one of the main problems that we have today. You know, we get all political about it. Really, it's just the home. Satan has attacked the home. Everybody still happy you came this morning? So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There needs to be somebody who can say, and whenever we come up in spiritual things and we walk in revelation and we walk in faith and we walk in places in God that people go, praise God, that's such a blessing to me. I see how God's working in your life. We can say, if you see me, I got that from my dad. Somebody needs to be in our life who speaks that into our life. Now, you might say, well, we get it from our Father God. Well, let me kind of break something down here a little bit. Because people get all hyper-spiritual about God is my Father. I don't need any man. That is true. God is your spiritual father in the sense that he's the one that gave you the new birth and so forth. But let me ask you something. Because the Bible says that God has said in the church, pastors. Isn't that right? Now, is the pastor usurping or taking away from the ministry of the chief shepherd in the sheep's life?
No, not at all.
No, he's not substituting for the chief shepherd. He is simply carrying out that aspect of the heart of our great shepherd, Jesus. He's not trying to take the place of the chief shepherd. Isn't that right? How about the teachers that God sets in the body of Christ? Are they trying to take the place of the Holy Spirit? And trying to say, well, we don't need the Holy Spirit because we've got a man to teach us? Is that what we're... No. He's not taking the place of the Holy Spirit. He's simply being used of God to assist in that teaching ministry that the Holy Spirit... And really, anybody that's a teacher of the, that can teach the Word and anybody get anything out of it is only doing it by the anointing of the Holy Spirit anyway. Isn't that right? Well, natural fathers are not trying to take the place of the spiritual fathers, of our spiritual father, anymore. What I mean is natural men are not trying to take the place of our spiritual father, God, in heaven, any more than a pastor is trying to take the place of the chief shepherd. Or, you know, a teacher in the body of Christ trying to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not a we're not saying he takes the place of our spiritual father in heaven. We're simply saying he has been given. There are people in our lives that are given an endowment and equipment to assist us to know the Heavenly Father, to be taught by the Holy Spirit, and to follow our chief shepherd, so forth and so on. Does that make sense? Now, let me ask you a question. You might say, well, we don't need natural people to help us or to be spiritual fathers to us. You know what I mean by natural people as a spiritual father? They're not God, but they're natural people that God uses. Isn't that right? Now, you know as well as I do that a child born into a natural, well, let's put it this way, a child that is born that does not have a mother and father. He's raised, he gets kicked around from one home to another, orphanages and all kinds of places, and sometimes Aunt Susie has him, but she's busy, and you know, just, and you know as well as I do that a child like that comes up at a disadvantage. Because there's so many things that he could learn if he had a daddy who was there for him. Amen. That he could learn a whole lot better and a whole lot quicker without so many bumps and bruises trying to learn it. You know what I mean? He can learn a whole lot better if there's a person there in his life to help him learn those things. Same thing true with spiritual things. We need one another. The body of Christ is not called to all just be an island to ourselves. It's good preaching, Pastor Jay. And so God will give people into our lives that have this kind of a role in our lives. Now, not everybody receives it. Some people aren't interested, but that's their side. That's their problem. Amen. There's still a great need for this in our lives. Amen. So we need to understand that. Now, without someone being a father, there's a lot of times people that just won't make it. You know as well as I do that if a baby's born and a mom and a dad or somebody's not there to care for that baby's not going to make it. Spiritual babies are the same way. We're called to disciple people. If it was just all up to Jesus, then when people are born again, we just look at them and say, well, if they got anything, they'll make it. We're not going to visit them. We're not going to pray for them. We're not going to reach out to them. We're not going to bring them to church. We're not going to help them read their Bible. We're not going to send them good books. We're not going to do anything. Well, man, if they're really born again, they'll make it. Well, you don't do that to a new baby born into your house. If they're really in Eberly, they'll make it. We'll just leave them over there in the spare bedroom, fend for themselves, get their food, change their diapers. No, they'll not make it. Tell your neighbor they won't make it. Same with spiritual babies. Well, they have a Father God. They should be able to make it. Huh? There's more to it. Amen. So there's just a lot of people that won't make it. And so we need to understand some of these things. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you can see Christ in a man, it's okay to want to learn from him. And dads, that's you, dad. Children ought to be able to see Jesus in you. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the thing I want you to see here is it's work to be a dad. Any dads in here can testify? Yeah. Looking for a vacation from them right now, Pastor. Hallelujah. It's work. Isn't it? It's not like you, it's a very unselfish thing to be a dad. Because you want to do this and the kids are needing this. So, whoop, I guess I won't be doing that. I'll do that whenever they turn 23, you know. I'll just... It's a very unselfish thing. That's the reason a lot of people aren't willing to do it. It's work. It's unselfish. It takes your time. Amen. Amen. There is no such thing as absentee parenting. Or doing it through live stream or something like that. I mean, you just, you got to be there. Amen. So it takes your time. It's unselfish. It's work. But listen, it's worth it whenever a life reaches its destiny and carries out the plan of God for it, because you were there to spank them when they needed spanking, to love them when they needed loving, to hug them when they needed hugging, to fix their boo-boos, come on, and to raise them and train them and say, son, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I'm not going to just tell you how to do it, but I'm going to model it in front of you. You've heard me say it's just a kind of a little way to illustrate some of these things. You can't just tell them to do one thing and then you do something else. You can't say, son, stay off of drugs. Could you reach over there and hand me my cigarettes? Got a model character. It's worth it when your children turn out right. Oh, I'm telling you, it's hell on earth to have a child that's in and out of jail, in and out of trouble, in and out of in and out and in and out. In and out of relationship with you. It's a heartache. But man, when they're raised right, they bring joy to your heart. Isn't that right? Now, if you're here this morning and you didn't know how to raise them before you came into church and you did some things wrong, listen, there's mercy. Aren't you glad for forgiveness? Aren't you glad for mercy? And listen, God can restore things by you walking in love, praying things out, saying, God, you know I didn't do it right. I've asked you to forgive me, and I stand before you as if that didn't even happen. But I'm asking you to show me how I can reach out to them and love them and bring them into the things of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, I'll just tell you a story, something that happened to me back in the middle of May. That, you know, I think it was during the COVID thing, there was a lot going on, and the Lord had given me a promise back whenever, I think it's probably in March, that the daycare, and I don't know why he singled out the daycare, but because it's true about, we just claimed it for all the ministries, but the daycare, he said, would come out ahead as through this coronavirus thing. Well, That was something to claim in faith, because there was no way in the natural that looked like that could happen. There was plenty of contradicting evidence. That wasn't God that spoke to you, Pastor. But we believed it was God. I didn't think it up out of my mind. I was just minding my own business, and the Lord spoke to me. So we claimed it. We claimed it in every area. Things were happening and stuff we won't even tell you about and stuff. And there was opportunities on the table from the government to give us a whole pile of cash. The daycare. I'm talking about the daycare. Give us a whole bunch of cash. You know, take care of this, take care of that. Of course, you know about some of it. You heard it in the news. You know, all the stimulus money and stuff. But in the daycare, there was probably, three different areas or even more ways we could apply for. We could have taken the taxpayers for a ride. The daycare. We could have done our parking lot out there, I think, with that money. I mean, I'm just telling you. And then there was extra costs, extra expenses because of because we were following guidelines being given to us. Are you with me? Because we're not lawbreakers. We endeavor as much as possible to follow the guidelines and work with the government. If it's not against our conscience and the Word of God, we want to be peaceable people. So we're doing these things, and it's costing us money and so forth and so on. And I keep going to the Lord, just reminding him what he said. And it's actually, you look in the bank accounts right now, it's absolutely true. We're ahead. But there was a time whenever we did some research to find out about how we could collect on some of that stimulus, just so I knew what was there. And I was minding my own business one day, and it came so clear in my heart, just so clear in my heart, that we were not to apply for stimulus money for the daycare, and we didn't do it for the church either, but the reason was because he wanted us to be an example of faith and prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, when you tell this story in days and years and weeks to come, whatever, however long you tell this story, you tell this story, he said, I don't want it to be said that the government made the daycare rich. And instantly I remembered a verse in the Old Testament. You remember whenever Lot was carried away with all the people at Sodom, and Abraham went and attacked them, you remember? And he recovered everything. He got back all the goods and so forth. This is before Sodom fell. And the Bible says that the king of Sodom said to Abraham, this is Genesis 14, 21 through 23, give me the persons. This is after Abraham came back with everything. The king of Sodom said, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself, because Abraham's the one who went to battle and got it all. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet or a shoelace, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you say that lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Whoa. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Lord put this on my heart. He said, there's going to be times. I will say it this way. It came into my heart as if the Lord was asking me not to do that. And it came into my heart, he wouldn't have condemned us if we would have. And listen, I won't condemn anybody else that did that. Everybody has to walk before God with wherever they are in faith, you know, and walk things out for themselves. If somebody else did that, hey, whatever. That's not my business. I keep my nose in my own business. Isn't that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And listen, you can get in trouble before God looking down your nose at other people saying, well, bless God, we didn't take it. I don't know why you did. And you can get in trouble with God that way. You can get into spiritual pride as much as you can get into natural pride. You know, people like us, we struggle with how good looking we are. We have to struggle. We have to stay out of pride. It's supposed to be funny, all right? But you can get into spiritual pride over faith or something like that. Are you with me? Yes. Hallelujah. And listen here, if a person's in spiritual pride, they forgot that they were not where they are now at one time in their life either. They grew and God helped them to get there and revealed himself and showed himself to them and showed how good they are, that he is to them, and so forth and so on. So we got to guard against all that. So I'm not talking about what other people do. That's none of my business. None of my business. My business is what God's telling me to do. And he spoke to me and he let me know he wouldn't have condemned me if we had, but he also let me know that where you are in the body of Christ, and the place you have to be an example in people's lives as a spiritual father, I'm asking you to do this. To not take the stimulus money from the government. That's what he put in my heart. Are you there? And he said to this, he said that there'll be times, he said, I'll ask you to do things a certain way just because others need an illustration and an example of faith set before them. He said, I need people who can demonstrate myself through. I need living epistles in the earth, known and read of all men. And I'm asking you to step up. I said, you got your man. Hallelujah. How many of you know we've got to live in such a life and with an awareness there are other people watching us, and what we do matters, not just to us, it matters to them. And moms and dads know that what you, how you treat one another in the home, how you walk in love with one another, how you believe God, how you pray for the things you need and believe God, that matters not just about your financial needs and your marriage and yourself. It matters there's somebody, there's little eyes watching you. There's little ears listening to you. And as much as they act like they're not paying attention, they're getting a lot. Anybody, I'm about ready to shout and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he reminded me, he said, when I brought you here, he said, I told you to raise the standard of excellence in ministry in Eastern Iowa. And he said, that includes excellence in faith. I don't want the testimony to be, well, we just milked the government for a whole bunch of money and did this and did that and did the other. I want it to be, we trusted God. And nobody gave it to us except Him. It came from Him. That's a good testimony. How many of you know we ought to want to give God all the glory? How many of you know we ought to want to give God all the glory? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in other words, if God's going to, now some of you, listening to me, some of you know now why God's asking you to walk by a higher standard. Because of where you're going in life. Because you're going to be a life that others are, that God's putting in front of others to be an illustration to them. You know what I'm talking about? And others are going to learn faith by watching you. Not just by hearing you teach and preach. Watching you. It's not like, you know, we teach it and preach it in the pulpit and go home and live another way. Are you out there? No, we demonstrate it. Kids needs needs. Kids need demonstrations. They need examples. They need character to be modeled. They need faith to be modeled. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so God's, for God to use a man this way, he's going to have to live by a higher standard. Can you, is anybody coming up here? Anybody pressing? Not just coasting, but pressing. Because there's somebody coming up after us. They need to learn how to walk by faith. And they need to watch. And they need to see. Glory. There's somebody that needs an example, a model, someone they can pattern after. Amen. We as men ought to take the spiritual lead in the home. And one area is in faith. That means kicking out all the props under your faith and just trusting God. Get a bulldog tenacity about you. I like kicking props out from under me. I told you about all the years that the compensation board here at the church wanted to give me a raise. And I said, thanks, but we'll just keep it where it is. Somebody said, you're holding yourself back. No, I wanted the opportunity. I wanted to keep some props kicked out from under me. I wanted the opportunity to believe God. Amen. Because I knew God wanted to set us as an example, and I knew it comes with persecution. And people need to know, you know, that it was because God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm doing it, and I'm preaching myself happy. Praise the Lord. Now, go to Matthew 23. Let's look at this. Matthew 23. This is a verse the Lord gave me years ago. I was shocked. I missed something here. How many of you can read, ever done this? You read the Bible and just missed something? It was right there the whole time. Matthew 23 and verse number 13. Jesus is speaking woes to the scribes and Pharisees. They were the religious people of his day. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Boy, Jesus wasn't politically correct, was he? Hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. One translation says, I think it's the Goodspeed. You lock the doors of the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. Whoa. Boy, that's worthy of a woe. Woe to you, man. You shut the door. You lock the Goodspeed says, you lock the door of the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. Now, here's how they did it. Listen to this. For, number one, you neither go in yourselves. Number one. Then say number two. neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Now, what are we seeing here? What it's talking about is by them not going into something. Now, in this case, it's actually going into the kingdom of God. But this is true about anything in the kingdom of God. A person can be in the kingdom and not walking into all that's in the kingdom. We keep walking into things, don't we? We keep walking by faith into further adventures of faith in the kingdom of God. And he said, by them, these Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites and people that had woes over them. I mean, he said, you don't go into the kingdom of heaven. And that by doing that, you're shutting the doors for others to get in. Not just speaking, you know, hindering them by saying something that, you know, there's nothing to that. By them not going in. What does that say? I don't know if you're seeing that like I'm saying. What does that say? By them not going into these things themselves, into these things in God, amen, into a walk of faith, into something that belongs to us in our covenant. By us not going into things, there's people behind us that aren't going to get into it. Others aren't going to get into it. They won't see how. Are you with me? He's telling us that when we walk in the light and we go into things in the kingdom of God, whether it be the kingdom itself or anything in it. Let's take prosperity, since this is what the Lord talked to me about regarding the daycare. Anything that we don't go into. In other words, we don't use our faith. We're lazy. We use the government's hands out, and we trust the government, and we trust our boss, and we trust everybody. We trust, and we don't walk by faith. When God says, that's your house, we go, we can't afford it. And we don't use anything that we don't walk into that the Spirit of God is prompting us to walk into. There's somebody coming up under us that's being hindered. So it's not just all about you. Oh, I got to preach this morning. It's not just about me. It's just not about you. It's about people that are coming up behind us that are being hindered if we don't be faithful and walk into these things. I know that's hard for some people to hear, but that's absolutely the truth. It's like for some reason, there's a natural law in this area too, as well as a spiritual law. You ever heard, is it coming to me right now, so I don't remember the man's name. The first guy to break the, the 4-minute mile or 3-minute mile? Bannister, was it 3 minutes? 4-minute mile. Remember that? I mean, people were training, trying to get under 4 minutes for a long time. Finally, one man broke it. And then from then on, another man, another man, another man, another man. And now, where is it now? Down to, I don't know where it is now. How many? It's way down. Somebody broke through a barrier. It's like there was a barrier, even in the natural realm, a barrier that everybody was bumping up against and couldn't get beyond that. Well, the same thing's true spiritually. There's some things that need, there's some barriers in Eastern Iowa that need to be broken. Hallelujah. Where are the churches with the millions? Where are the churches that have 10,000 people in them just in Iowa? Listen, we got to go into it. I said, we got to go into it. Not sit back and wait for somebody else. Let's go. Let's go. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus made the statement in several places, John 5, John 12, John 17. He said, you are the light of the world. We know Jesus is the light of the world and it's Him in us. But listen, when we walk in light, we become a light to people. When they see it working for us, they go, I'm interested. I don't understand that all. But something's working for them. Oh, I wish I had somebody give me an amen. And there are things God's asking all of us to step up to the plate at. to step it up and say, listen, the previous generation brought me this far. I'm going to take this, my generation, to the next level and hand it off to my children so they can go even beyond where I go. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about knowing God, walking in the Spirit, flowing with the power of God, reaching people, getting the harvest done, working in the kingdom. And finances, yes. Hallelujah. I'm doing it. I'm preaching myself happy. So really, to fail to walk in the light ourselves is to suppress the light in the earth. Oh, my, that's a tough statement, but the Lord said that to me. You don't walk in the light, there's going to be people that don't see how to get into things. So it's a serious deal. God needs people to light the way today. He needs examples. And that's what a father really is. We didn't get off the subject. Amen. So because of the place, the Lord said this to me, because of the place that you have in the body of Christ, the way I deal with you and the way you live is to be a pattern for others that are coming up in the things of God. They need to know what's available to them and how God and show them how faith and the things of the kingdom work. Anybody interested in being that yourself? Especially for your family or anybody else that's watching. Hallelujah. There ought to be. Listen, there are plenty of times I would rather not share some testimonies. I'm a private person. My private things, I just, you know, just I don't need to tell anybody for any. But sometimes God deals with me to share things. Amen. As a testimony. To kick some behinds. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, get with it. Anybody ever heard a testimony of somebody else and you're like, bless God, what have I been doing? What have I been... Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not opposed to going to a doctor. I've been to a doctor. I've had procedures. I've had help from doctors. But that's only because the Lord said, well, you got weak and you need some help right now and you didn't get the best. But my goal is to walk in a way that others see divine health and divine healing. It's our covenant right. It's time for somebody to illustrate it. That's not condemnation if we haven't walked in that all the time. I haven't walked in that all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's just simply, I'm going to press. I'm going to reach. If it's in the Word, it's mine. I'm going to demonstrate that this is the power of God. This is available. And let people see the glory of God. The Bible says our faith gives glory to God, brings glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's what a spiritual father is, whether you're a natural father raising natural children and being a spiritual father to them, or whether you have a voice into people in the body of Christ. They are people that don't just teach or preach it, they live it. Hallelujah. And you need to live close enough to God and walk with Him in such a way, walk close enough to Him, that you have testimonies. You have things you can tell people about what God did and what He and how He moved. It bugs the living religious tar out of some people. What I'm getting ready to say, but I know a minister that somebody had it in their heart to, because he likes boating and, you know, getting out. He likes a lot of fast stuff, fast motorcycles, fast boats, fast cars. Hot rods, engines way bigger than you need. That's just him. And I kind of like that too, but I don't think about it as much as he does. But he just loves that stuff. And somebody found out he liked that kind of boat, and they gave him this huge, almost like a yacht thing. Just blessed him with it. He didn't go out and pay for it. Somebody just blessed him with it. You know, and he said, well, you know, his thought was, well, I just won't tell people. They won't understand. And the Lord said, take a picture of it and put it on the screen on Sunday morning. That bugs the religious tar out of some people. But see, people, they can get mad if they want. But how can you get mad at he didn't buy it? He didn't spend the money for it. He didn't ask. He didn't beg. He didn't hint. He didn't. He just said to the Lord one day, I would love one of those. Privately, quietly. He didn't hint. He didn't rock up to somebody that had the money, had one, and say, oh, I like that one. I should buy it from him if you want. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And God told him, put it on the screen so everybody can see. And they all rejoiced. But you know, there's some people that bugs the living tar out of some people. Is it all about money? No. No. Hear me once and for all. No. Are you with me?
Yes.
But it is available to us in the kingdom of God. Okay, keep me safe while I leave today. I need protection. Bugs the religious tar out of some people. Amen. If I know this man. If God told him, he would give it away before noon today. He's not attached to it, not living for it, not you know, getting in pride over it. You know what I'm talking about? If God said, give it to so-and-so because it would bless them more than bless you, this man, I know, he's proven it. He would give it away in a heartbeat. It is not about stuff. We still have some things to learn. Tell your neighbor, I'm still happy. I'm still glad I came to church. A spiritual father, somebody walks close enough to God and receives what God has for him and has testimonies he can illustrate to other people. Amen. Hallelujah. I sure wish I had more faith in the building about that. Somebody's watching you, and it's not just about you. Hallelujah. Show the younger ones coming up that if they'll respond to the word, because you're demonstrating this, if they'll respond to the word, and God will move in supernatural ways. Do you know God will be, this is bad English, Miss Weiser's not listening, hopefully. God will be gooder to you than you would be to yourself. Yeah. If you'll let him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And if you're not a doer of the word, though, then others can't see how. Listen, how's the church going to get into the millions if we get, I'm going to be nice here, all twisted up about somebody being blessed with a boat? How are we ever going to reach the world? How are we ever going to be on TV and do it? We got to get over this. We got to get over this. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to go ahead and swallow hard and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Ephesians 5:1, I'm closing. It says, in King James, be ye followers of God. The King James is not real clear. The Greek says, be imitators of God as dear children. Fathers in the faith show a pattern that others can imitate. Amen. There are things God will have some of us do, and if you're a father of children, this includes you, there's things that God's going to have you do a certain way that there's no other reason he's having you to do it that way other than to demonstrate something to those coming up. God, our Father, made the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. And then that was one of his instructions to us, to rest on the seventh day. So the Bible says, though, that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's neither weary. There's no searching of his understanding. So why, then, if he never gets weary, after 6 days of creation, he wasn't weary. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Why, then, did he rest on the seventh day? One reason. One reason only. To demonstrate to us the way he wanted us to live. He wanted us to take time to rest.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? And there's going to be things as a father, as you fulfill this role, natural fathers, raising children, and also making you a spiritual father to them, or a leader in the body of Christ, a voice in the body of Christ, ministers, so forth and so on, or just taking in some young man that doesn't have a father in his life. There's going to be things God's going to ask you to do that there's no other reason other than just to model something for them to see it. Y'all following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to ask you to go to the throne and receive. He asked me to go to the throne and receive coming out of ahead at the daycare. We got a hold of it. That's what we're doing. But I can stand before you and say it wasn't the government. Amen. That's what all of us are called to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now you can understand why God's holding some of you to a higher standard. Because for his plan for your life and the people you're going to affect, the other people you're going to affect. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Anybody believe it in here? Woo! Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. How can you teach others if you don't know anything about it yourself? And listen, there's such thing as head knowledge that you got in church. But then there's such thing as going home and saying, here, we're going to practice this. And that's when you really know it. That's when you really, you can say, Sonny boy, let me tell you. Can you say amen? Because you really know it now. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just pass, hand-me-down revelation you got from somebody else. You're walking in it. Hallelujah. So if that's what God's asking us to do, let's step it up. What do you say? Hallelujah. There's going to be experiences that God's going to lead us into that he's going to teach us faith. It'll be things like stepping out of the boat, putting your foot on the water. He's going to ask you to do some impossible things. But just smile and say, oh, I'm getting ready to see the miraculous. I'm getting ready to see the power of God. And guess what? Johnny boy here, I'm going to bring him along with me on this ride. Because Johnny boy needs to see it. I know what God's doing. He's teaching Johnny boy. He's teaching me, but he's teaching Johnny boy. Hey, you want to see a miracle? Come on, let's get out here on the water together. Tell them about your faith projects. Teach them to believe for a tricycle and teach them to believe for their whatever they want. Glory! Anybody got a vision for raising up another generation of faith people? I've been pastoring long enough, it's starting to stir in me. These young ones that, I mean, whenever the doctor spanked their bottom when they were born. You know what I'm talking about? And here they are getting married. Here they are getting out into the things of God themselves. And God called them and they're preparing for what God called them to do. Woo! Now that's rewarding right there. Can you say amen? Thank God for the word. Are you up to working this in your life, living this way? Praise God. And so, I think Jesus told Brother Hagin one time, go teach my people faith. And then he said, I've taught you faith through certain experiences you've gone through. I've had you go through. You know what I mean? And now I want you to go teach them what I've taught you. So Jesus didn't just teach him from the Bible. He taught him by leading him into things to use his faith for. Yes. Amen. Are you willing to be led into things? To use your faith so you can learn? Because Jesus didn't say, I've taught you faith, and now that's why I wanted you to go through these things. I wanted you to learn. He said, go teach them, my people, what I have taught you. It was all to pass on. Woo, glory. Aren't you glad he passed it on? Told all those stories and how God led him and how God moved and the power of God and oh, man. How about we just not look at Brother Hagin and say, isn't that wonderful? But how about we say, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. If you're a single mom, I'm going to show Johnny boy here. I'm going to show him by believing God. Listen, and God is as much into, actually, let me rephrase. He's more interested in Johnny boy learning it than even you are. He'll show up and show out. So that your needs are met because he loves you, but so Johnny boy learns he can trust me. He can trust me. He can trust me.